Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Explicit Measures Podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Thursday.
To you bodies. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Welcome. Midweek. How's the week going so far, gents?
It's going by very fast. There's a lot of things to be doing right now. I don't know. Maybe it's the sales cycle of the way things go, but I feel like towards the end of the year, companies start ramping up. Like, we got some projects we got to plan for 2023, or we have money we got to use up for existing projects we got to get done.
Budget cycle's ending.
Yeah. Budget cycle's starting. Like, there just seems to be a bit of a fever around, like, we have stuff, we're getting approvals, let's use Power BI more, we need help to get going. So I just feel like that's just been a bit more of a thing recently. How about you guys?
I think we just work in a busy industry. We're going to start a series next week, but I think I'm realizing more and more, it doesn't matter how well these products get, but you're still dealing with two fundamental problems: process and people. So there's always something going on. I mean, when's the last time you haven't been busy in this since you started Power BI?
That's a good question. I typically think of work as a sensational beast. It always will take more.
Always hungry.
Going
to eat you up.
Yes. Yeah. Always going to, like, if you give it more, it will
cannot
take more.
Satisfy.
That's what I'm looking for. That word. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, how many Power BI developers ever ask someone, do you got anything for me to do? No, I'm good.
Take it easy.
We've done everything we need to do.
We've done it all. All the models are done. All the reports have been built. Everyone's super happy, and no one needs any extra reporting. So just take a break for a bit.
And then we woke up.
Go learn some new DAX. Yeah, exactly. And then you woke up.
I had the best dream. Yeah.
The best dream.
Amazing. Well, speaking of things that are ever-changing this week, an announcement actually came out yesterday, which I'm very excited about. And I think I just recently had a customer asking me specifically about this feature, which I think is going to be very useful for people. It's called announcing the public preview of multiple audiences for Power BI apps. So to give you the distilled version of what this means, I believe this means you have an app, you've published it, and now you can have 5 reports in it, and you can have an audience group of consuming 3 of those reports and a different audience group consuming the other 2 reports or a combination of those reports. So now you can have different groups of people with the same number of reports inside an app, which this is very helpful, because if you wanted to give an audience a couple reports but not all of them, you had to build a whole new app. That meant a whole new workspace. That meant duplicating all the reports and keeping them synced between 2 different workspaces, which in my opinion is not too easy to do. Yeah, it seems easy in principle, but every time you make a change, you got to deploy it twice. A little tricky, actually. So
this is I'm excited about this, right? Because even in our last conversation about kind of landing on different audiences or different types of reports, it could all be the same data set.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And now you can easily. Now we have a one-to-many relationship between a workspace and the contents that we want to share with an audience. This is the public preview going straight into prod today.
Yes. I build in dev. I mean, I build in prod. You know, I make edits in prod. What's that T-shirt that's, you know, there's something that's like, you know, I only edit in prod.
What is dev?
Yeah, no, what is dev?
I mean, when you think about that, we've been asking this for a while, but when's the last major update to Power BI apps? And again, from our last conversation, Seth, we kind of all not universally agreed, but more or less commonly agreed the most fundamental way to share content is through a Power BI app. And we haven't seen an update. We've talked about this so many times. This has been probably one of the biggest community features. And I'm right with you. This is exactly, I sent a message out as soon as this came out and was like, yep, we're doing this tomorrow. We're planning this out. How does this look? So this is just, it's a fundamental feature. Yeah. So this is phenomenal.
It's a definitely a quality of life improvement for sharing.
Yeah,
I would totally agree with that one. I'll throw the link here for the article if you want to read more about it. Here's the link to the announcement. The announcement link is, I mean, I'm trying to distill the answer here, and I think it's announcing it today, meaning it's in preview. I have not seen if this is a feature set you have to like flip on in the admin portal yet. I haven't really looked about it at this point. It just seems like it's part of now the app publishing process. So as you go through apps, I'm not sure how you know to turn it on in preview. That's the part I'm not quite clear about yet based on the article. So I'm going to have to dig in a little bit more today and spend some time on it.
Yeah. It's one of those features, I think, that you just either have to clear your cache or it just magically appears, because I have one tenant that it's on now.
Oh, you do?
And yeah. But the icons changed in Power BI too.
I did also notice that.
Yeah. And the other tenant.
Yeah, I want to ask about that one. We'll come back to that one.
If you have multiple tenants, yeah, you notice the asynchronous nature of some
of the deployments. Get deployed.
Well, there is a tenant setting saying allow Power BI to do different experiences for different users, because they're A/B testing too.
Gotcha.
That's a hidden tenant setting if you didn't know that.
Learn something new every day, man.
That's what the podcast is for.
Exactly.
Hidden tenant settings that make no difference.
I'm still flabbergasted that not every tenant setting has a security group attached to it. That's just, I was looking at some other features the other day, and I'm like, doggone it. It's just either on for the entire tenant or off for the entire tenant. I can't set it out to a specific group, but
there's a lot of them though that do.
Yes.
It's interesting. You're saying you're still seeing some you'd like to see it on.
Yes. Data marts for one. I want to be able to like test it for people. Like some
people. Do you want to talk about data marts? Do you want to talk about data marts?
Not yet.
I am okay.
We're waiting to get to that one.
I'm ready to talk about it.
Actually, I was trying to jump into my tenants here. Both of my tenants don't have the updated icons. I've also heard that it takes anywhere between like 2 or 3 days for them to roll out features, because there's so many different versions of where code is deployed across the world. So I've heard people saying, oh, I see the feature. And they're like, well, it was deployed earlier in this region versus the other region. So kind of.
Ooh, Kevin Arnold dropped a little tidbit. If you refresh or update your app, it'll pop in there.
Ooh.
The option.
Okay.
So if you don't see it yet, sounds like you could initiate it. Come on. Come on, guys.
Test it out, Tommy.
Real time, Tommy.
Okay,
I'm updating. Yeah. Confirm or deny.
Exactly.
Hey,
Yay.
Good job. Yeah. Wow.
There you go. Live trick. Problem solving.
There it is.
Thanks, Kevin.
The only other announcement I have that I found that's kind of coming out here is this week, I think it's actually today. No, was it yesterday? The today. There's probably a recording of it somewhere. Thursday, the 25th, noon, I guess, Pacific's time. That's today. That'll be the 25th. There is the Power BI Dev Camp. I've actually had a number of people reach out to me recently just around, hey, we want to do Power BI embedding. We want to see how this works. Well, the gentleman running the Dev Camp is Ted Pattinson, who's absolutely amazing, has a lot of really rich content, very good from a development. Actually, was a trainer for a lot of things around Power BI until he got absorbed by the Microsoft team. And now he's doing a modern React JavaScript development using Power BI embedding. So if you're in that space, if that's something that you are interested in, or your company is looking at doing embedding, almost every company has reached out to me that I talk to is talking some level of embedding or something. So I think this will be very relevant, and just spreading the knowledge around how that system works. It's not super tricky, but it does take a couple hurdles to jump over to get it working correctly. And there's a lot of customization you can do to it, so you can really make it part of the ecosystem of your actual application. So anyways, I just want to throw that out there as well.
Yeah, a really good one. Yesterday was that really big announcement by SQL BI, DAX Studio 3.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's big because I am a dark mode guy, unlike
the majority of your other team.
Oh, apparently.
Yeah. He doesn't like
no, Marco is apparently. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I watched his whole 7-minute commercial / acting thing. It was... It's good, man. It's good. We're stretching the bounds of what a BI guy can do, right? But that, man, yeah, I downloaded it right away. I love it. Getting used to the new UIs. But apparently that, yeah, spent whole lot of time on redoing the whole UI, and definitely worth getting the new version.
And I believe the old UI was on a very long running legacy version of a Windows application. I don't know what it was. It was a very old version. So now they're bringing it to a much more of a modern place, which is, it'll be very cool. So I think they'll get some enhancements that kind of come along with it. And again, everyone loves dark mode. Just by that alone is a good thing. All right. Let's talk about our topic today. This will be an interesting topic. I think we're going to kind of go, this could go a number of places. So kind of thinking through or planning out what would be your next step in your career. And there's going to, I think this will be interesting. I'd be curious to see what people are chit-chatting about here about this and what they felt like their next step was. How do you, couple questions here. Like, you like working on Power BI. What's next? Where are you at now in your position? And then what do you do moving forward? So yeah, let's start there. Tommy, your thoughts on, you know, this topic, what, any other phrases or boundaries you want to say, you want to kind of set here for like what this topic is all about? Is this mean moving jobs? Does this mean looking for the same job in the same company? Like what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, that'd be fun to ask me if I'm going to move jobs on the podcast, but
true.
No, but yes, but no, I mean, honestly, before thinking about what do you want to do next, as the topic came up, I was wondering, like, when we started in Power BI, did I ever imagine, like, I'm going to do this for 40 years, right? Or I'm like, this is my long-term goal with
40.
Sal's been around for a while.
We're already seven into it, eight.
We're already seven. Yeah, we're not doing bad. But just thinking, like, this is who I'm going to be, so to speak, every day in and out for the next however long.
Yeah.
Was I thinking that 7 years ago? When I was in my 20s, well, I didn't think a lot actually in my 20s, but I think it was more honestly, like, I realized how much I love the analytics space, and it's been around for a while and it's probably going to continue to. And now that we're so far into it now, like, I see myself doing some capacity of data or business intelligence, or at least helping, you know, in terms of people being able to measure and from the objective point of view. Mike, he always says how much data is growing in the next 2 years, more than the last, you know, 1,000 years. And I think
I don't actually say that. That's an exaggeration, but yeah, that's kind of the gist. It's growing exponentially.
So I don't know if I've said this, guys, but in the next 2 years, there'll be more data in the next 2 years than there ever been in the world before. That's the exact line.
Since data's been around for the internet or something like that. It's something crazy amount how fast this stuff is growing. Yes.
Right. Well, yeah.
Not 1,000 years.
Compared,
Do they say that about the US dollar as well?
They say that about inflation rate right now. Yeah, it's inflation.
Oh, creating dollars as fast as you can.
More data.
Exactly.
More
right.
data points. Everything has a skew on those things, serial number. So, but I think the idea of, I realized then, I'm like, I love this. I want to keep doing this. And as it's continued to grow with doing training into the, like, actually helping people measure what's important and realizing that's also a part of this. So, like, I can be very technical, but I can deal with, in a sense, behavior too. Like, this is, for me, this is it in some capacity. So I don't know about you guys, when you started in this space, that you're like, I'm all in.
So to answer your question directly, what was I thinking? Like, when I saw Power BI, and I thought, when I first saw it, and I think it was more around Power Query, when I saw Power Query working inside Excel, that's kind of what my first, you know, investment into the space started looking like. And I thought, okay, this is a game changer. This is really helpful. And I see an immense amount of value very quickly from this. Then Power BI came out. And even in the early versions, I was like, this is way cooler than Excel. And that's kind of how I started thinking about this. Probably about 5 years or so into this, when I left the corporate world and started going into consulting, I was dedicating myself to doing just Power BI consulting. And so that was the moment where I was like, does this Power BI thing have staying power? Is it going to grow and develop the same way that Excel has? Because I'm looking at other people in Excel, like people that I've learned from, they've been doing this for like 25, 30 years. They've made a whole career around, they got into it, they loved it, and they just, you know, did training, and it's become part of their business. They've made a whole business around it. I'm like thinking, okay, well, if Excel can do that, maybe that's this is this the way of Power BI. It'll be the similar thing. And so just seeing like the year, I mean, every year Microsoft would have these growth charts of look how many people are adopting Power BI, look how fast it's growing. And I kept thinking to myself, well, if they're continually saying these numbers and publicly touting the growth of this platform, well, then I'm on the early edge of this thing. I want to get involved. So I think around, you know, how many years ago is that? 5-6 years ago, I had that epiphany of, I think this could be a full-time career gig thing. How about you, Seth?
You know, the interesting thing, like from my perspective, is when Power BI came out, I was literally had just started as a consultant, you know, in a small company as like the first BI person, right? And they were gonna, you know, start to ramp up reporting as a service, right? So I was looking for different ways in which we could solve reporting problems without and sell them, right? Without just using reporting services, because it'd been around for 20 years. It's, you know, it's not, there's nothing new and flashy. It's just, you know, paginated reports with some, you know, graphs that you can throw in. And the only innovative type things that were coming out of Microsoft were like in Excel and driven through SharePoint. And from the tech side, that's like, if there wasn't a lot of things that were appealing there for me, because I came from DBA reporting, you know, big databases and working through that way. So when they came out with like, so I was like keenly every day looking online, right? Like, man, what am I going to do? And like, so when Power BI came out in its completely different divested version of what they had started to release it in, you know, as like right. this SharePoint plugin kind of thing, I dove into it. Like it's heavy. Like they put out all the documentation when they released it. Mm-hmm. And I was like in those articles. And when I realized that what they had done is just leverage all of their tooling and systems and things that were very familiar on the back end, it was probably a decision right at that point. 100% yeah. comfortable, like, wow, that is the, and probably one of the reasons I was so excited about it in the beginning was because I kind of saw how automatically this put them on a game-changing level, right? Yep. Like none of their competitors had what they had just built, which is all the core components of letting this thing just fly. And I think that's where it started to take off as fast as it did. But just the continuous curve is because they chose the right framework to build it on. So I was all in from the get-go. And we were pushing businesses, to drive in that direction because it was an easy conversation,
yeah.
Right? Because it's all the same core systems. There was nothing new, you know, related to like something that didn't bolt into the already standard business intelligence backends. And you know, like from there, I think that kind of just threw me into, really understanding a lot more about the business side and what business value and how fast we could do things now to produce insights and time savings. And like this, that's where, like, I think over the years I've learned a lot more because I had the tech end, and now like integrating Power BI into, you know, organizations and seeing, like, you know, it's a buzzword, transformational change, but it you have the ability to do that. And like, yeah. It's just kind of grown and grown and grown. Yeah. And that's where it started. And I don't see it stopping.
You're giving me goosebumps because I also remember the very first time our company was, they asked me to, like, we need to find a BI tool, a reporting tool. And this was in 2015. And I've been at this new company for about 4 or 5 months at this point. And next, like, I mean, we were doing everything in Google Sheets, Excel. And then, so we started looking for, and I remember it was like June of 2015. And that same exact experience that I had when I downloaded that, like I got the chills because it's a very defining moment even for me as well. Like, just like very clear on that, like, wow, there's nothing like this.
Yeah. So that's where I was thinking, this makes a lot of sense. And so, When I got heavily into Power BI, I quickly realized that there was another. You see those diagrams? I've seen them a couple times on like LinkedIn or Twitter. There's this iceberg effect, like Power BI is the top of the iceberg. And if you know icebergs that sit in the water, 80% of them are under the water. You only see the little tiny, 10 or 20% at the top above the water. That's how the iceberg floats. So as I looked at that and thought, that's actually very indicative of what I think Power BI does, because Power BI at the surface is reports and interactive, but there's a whole bunch of other things that I've been able to learn. And even going back further upstream into like, how does the data transform into what Power BI needs? And so one of the core skills that I think I learned very early on with Power BI was good practices around data engineering. And then I kept learning about that, because Power Query makes it really easy to go grab some data from anywhere. And then you can shape and conform that data down to a star schema, which is databasing 101, and good Kimball data models there. And they're very performant inside the tabular model. So when you start thinking about like the skills that you learn there, I learned a lot of very IT-based skill sets by practically building these things over and over again inside Power BI. And then now what I can do is I can then walk my way upstream and now provide the backend systems that support the data transformations, because I know what that data needs to shape. And again, I call this when I talk to customers about the Power BI and data modeling, it's like a dance. If you want the report to do this, you have to have the data in a certain way, a certain shape for that to work. If you want it to be performant, you're gonna need to do more transformations behind the scenes to prepare the data, simplify it, make it easier for the calculations to run quickly and fast. Because you may have hundreds of millions of rows of data, shouldn't be a problem. The report should be able to handle it, no issue. But you're doing more things to prepare that work upstream. And I think that's another, a relevant skill set that comes along with this is, you're not just only doing Power BI, but you're doing Power BI and upstream data engineering. And that's kind of where I've been putting my eggs in those baskets, because again, there's more data in the next 5 minutes that'll be created in the entire universe. Yeah. That's happening.
The last thing on the past, and then obviously we get to the next, but it's interesting you went the back end direction, where when we started just deploying reports, I started flowing into the front end, where in terms of we were having all the reports and realizing that you can't just have the skill in being able to build a great report if people don't understand the content and the whole idea of adoption. I remember like 2017, I started researching a blueprint for business intelligence adoption, business intelligence governance, and I couldn't find any like true blueprint. And I basically explicitly remember in 2017 saying, I'm going to develop this. There has to be something for this, and trying to develop that even in my organization back then. So I really, in like the same way, as much as you need the back end and you need everything structured first, you can't survive with flat, terrible structure. Yeah.
Did you ever finish that? Serious question.
No, seriously. Actually, at our organization, we rolled something out. So
that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Because if I think about, I would say one of the only reasons why I was such an advocate for Power BI in the beginning was because I knew the back end. Like I knew what they built it on.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine trying to do that, Tommy. I mean, it changed so drastically every month.
Yeah.
Like to try to build a governance, like a deployment or how to adapt, like just blows. It blows my mind. I wouldn't have tried it.
in my head, because of what I was seeing happening, because the company went all in, was this skill of being able to like almost manage how people, like just ensuring that if I say leads here, you say leads here, we're all meaning the same thing, is just as important as being able to do a complicated DAX statement, or if I'm learning something on the back end. To me, those skills are equal. Because I've built too many reports back in the day that I spent hours that I loved, where someone said, actually, this other report says this number, so sorry. Or getting calls from a CEO. Well,
I mean, data quality. Yeah. Maybe I took your comment in a different way, where you were focusing more on deployment strategies, getting it out into the wild.
Well, I mean, and that was too, because people were overwhelmed with the content. And I was like, no, I built this report. Like, I didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
And just remember going, so realizing how important.
Shift of how people consumed reports.
Right. Right. So anyways, it's funny that we all kind of took somewhat of a different direction on the important aspect of under the iceberg.
I'm getting some really good questions here from LinkedIn. So kind of around, so we've talked about, like, you know, our first vision, you know, these moments where we're seeing, you know, Power BI is becoming a thing. And we were, you know, we were hired to be something else. And all of a sudden, how here we see ourselves working in Power BI and doing a very, like, more and more of my time is being consumed about doing the Power BI work in our careers, right? So at some point in time, we decided, yeah, we're going to jump all in. We're just going to do this Power BI thing 100%. Some of the questions around here are kind of like looking at the future vision of where Power BI is going to go.
Which we probably should do.
Yeah. And so some questions here are around, you know, what do you think the roadmap for Power BI would be with big data is? How does that work? And then, you know, how would Power BI handle, you know, they call it, you know, well, how does Power BI handle big data? To me, I think that's a very broad term when you say big data. That could be like images or JSON files or unstructured information that's not, doesn't have like a table form to it. And I don't think that's really what Power BI is aiming to do. I think Power BI is really aiming to be this table structured landscape that, you know, you're going to pair big data. Big data things belong in your enterprise data warehouse. You're going to compute those things outside of Power BI. And I think a lot of times people are looking at their Power BI data sets or their data sets and thinking, I'm going to make a data warehouse. And I've seen this on LinkedIn that I think is extremely dangerous. Look at my data warehouse built in Power BI. I think right away that is a misnomer. That is a false. You don't understand the program well enough to really understand what Power BI is good at, because Power BI is good at the semantic model and producing very fast filtered and aggregated data. That is table forms in a star schema. Like that's, so I think of the Power BI data sets is that's, it's the Kimball, it's the, you know, this is going to be a very overused term, but the Power BI ecosystem is building small data sets on specific topics of information. Power BI is not the data warehouse. You still need that somewhere else when you start talking about massive amounts of volumes, multiple big sources, and merging and blending data together. I don't think Power BI will ever be that. And that's why you're seeing the now feature called Data Marts, where you're actually seeing a SQL Server spin up behind the scenes that has the ability to bring in multiple data sources, multiple tables, and build the relationships for you, because that is where you would put more of those tables.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that, right? Like to believe that Power BI is just going to come in and solve every single organizational problem for you is the wrong way to look at the tool, right?
Yes.
If you have big, like the systems that we are very familiar with handle hundreds of millions of records that come into Power BI and are supported in the model easily. They don't live there though. Right. Like all of my heavy lifting is in big data systems, Databricks, Azure Synapse. Like all of those are where you do all the heavy lifting with your data, shape, frame it, and put it in a way that Power BI can easily in the tabular model, right?
Yes.
Handles that data in a well mannered way because you're spending a lot of time on the model, you're structuring it well, you're pulling it, you know. You're building it in such a way that you can sustain large volumes of data and aggregate it. But that's also where Power BI as a front end, right, shines because you're taking 200, you know, million rows of data, 3, 4, 5, 6 on a day, whatever, and you're aggregating that into a form that's digestible for insights. So, like, be cognizant of like there are connectors, right, that go into these big data systems, and those are the platforms where you do that stuff. To assume Power BI is just going to like manage and do all that for you through Power Query or something, probably not the best implementation.
Yes,
you may be able to get somewhat of the result you want once, but that is an untenable solution, if anything. But I think the coolest thing though that we've talked about is it's not a data warehouse, but it's a great example or something that almost you can send off to someone in terms of the model that you want. So obviously don't build that necessarily all the framework in the desktop, but I can tell you how many times I've used a version of the model relationships and what we're trying to transform and try to build like that in just a sample data in Power BI. And then actually sent that off to our backend team to say, this is what we're trying to achieve here. So it's great for that, but I think Power BI is never going to also be like this entire, it's not going to be what we want in Azure. So
the other comment I do want to address here, and it's one I've kind of battled with in conversations, is, you know, Ahmed says technology is evolving all the time. No guarantee Power BI will keep up. It's a means, not a destination. I agree, right? There are different tools that can service up insights for the data that we have. You already have that in different business areas, right? Salesforce has Tableau now, right? Yep. Ironically.
Yes.
But like within that tool, people are using those reports all the time. Within other applications, there's a bunch of things, you know, people are using reporting tools out of those things. Power BI comes in when you can pull all this data together, right? Give quick insights, whatever. There are two points. One is they've been constantly innovating. There is not another company out there that is anywhere close to how fast Microsoft still continues to innovate and create better solutions through Power BI. The challenge 100%. That I have, the challenge I have in my head is where I've been pushed back on saying, well, you need to talk about this business problem without the context of Power BI. Is fundamentally this tool set changed the game, because I can't do some of the things and you can't do some of the things with those other tools because they don't have the same core systems that allow us to save money, streamline data, do data mashup the same way. Like, it's the tool that it's allowing me to produce these business results for you, right? As opposed to previously where there's 500 different ways. I take Alteryx and then I combine it with Tableau. And then I need six different components to generate this one output. Or I just use Power BI. I plug into your three systems. I merge them together. And then I give you a report in 3 days. That's a tool, right? Like, I need that in order to produce those results. So I think that's where I've been challenged. I 100% agree. Like, in data systems, you want to have your source data to be able to manipulate and show and use with different tools. I think Power BI has uniquely positioned itself because it's not just a reporting tool. It's the ecosystem that if you leverage, you can really accelerate and expand in a multitude of different use cases. It's not just enterprise, right? Enterprise was the last thing they cared about. It was more about drilling into the business results, getting, I'm doing it today. I have a business user. They have three or four different reports. Hmm. They know which things relate between them. And we're going to go through a session of like, here, let's combine all the data and then give you a first view.
Yeah.
Power BI does that faster than anything else.
Yeah. I think that's the value that we get here along this. And so I want to start tying this conversation back a little bit more. We've been talking a lot about the tool and how different it is from everything else. I'd like to kind of migrate more and like, okay, how do you see this now? Based on that tool technology stack, based on the fact that we've aligned ourselves kind of with the Microsoft product here, where do you see the next steps in your career? Like, what looks like the next thing for you? And I think for me, it's a really around, I have found a lot of experience around, there's a lot of people who say they know Power BI. I've been on a lot of interviews. I've been working with a lot of companies. I've seen a lot of people hired that they think they understand, like, you know, you open a job rec. Yeah. Ask some questions and then bring along a Power BI expert and have them just pick their brain. Tell me what filter context means. Simple questions. Can explain it. What does a calculate statement do to a measure? Can explain it. You know, have you ever used data flows before? Can you describe what that does? Like, what would be a reason behind it? And you'll get some of these canned answers. And I can't tell you the number of times things are very revealing when I say, okay, share your screen. Let's pull open Power BI desktop on your computer. And show me, like, so part of me for my career, I think right now next is educating more of my team, more of the teams and the companies that I work with, is to bring in that center of excellence level up. And I think there's this idea around, you know, I've got 7-8 years of knowledge around working solely in Power BI at this point. Now what? Now how do we get now those teams to or integrate my time with those other teams to help knowledge share and disseminate what I know into their team so they can be as effective as what I can do on things. So I think, you know, for me, a lot of next steps and where I see as you become comfortable with the tool and you learn the best practices and you're able to optimize and make things run at a performant level, I think your next step in for me, and particularly around that space, is looking for other ways you can invest that information into other people. And I think for now, I found this to be a very valuable, even on a personal level. I love helping people. I love people coming to me with problems, and I'm able to figure out how to solve them. I can't tell you the number of times my wife and I are just talking, and she's like, why are you trying to solve all these things? I just want you to listen. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
Because that's what I do. I solve things. Yeah, right?
For 8 to 9 hours a day. For 8 to 9 hours a day, I'm sitting here solving problems for people. And I like the challenge of it. I like being able to like have this thing I don't understand. I like coming up with solutions. Like, just it really very much resonates with what I like to do. And I think it's very fulfilling for me to be able to teach other people, and I really get a lot of personal value out of those types of conversations and those kind of values. So that, for me, I mean, it's going to be a lot about investing back into the community, these companies, you know, that's what I like to spend my time on at this point. So that's kind of how I would phrase myself out at this point. How about you guys?
So your next career step is do the same thing.
Well, just keep doing it. Right. I mean,
that's probably the best answer you could have.
Yeah.
I'm doing what I love. This is the path that I'm on. And if there's a next step, it's probably this one, which is great.
I mean, if I think about like the spectrum of things that I'm doing, right. I know we have a wide audience, right. There's people in our audience that are, you know, just cranking out reports. There are people in our audience who are managers of people cranking out reports. There's people in our audience who are experts in their team or running their center of excellence in these things. I have done those things to some degree, but I've also pushed my career into like, I'm on my own. Like the buck stops with me. If I don't work, I don't feed my family kind of thing. Right. So, and you know, there's no boss on top of me telling me what to do or what not to do. It's a lot around, you know, aligning my goals of what fulfills me to do my work against with what I know technically. And so I think I've, you know, where I'm at right now, I found a good balance between those things. Yeah. Is there stuff in my career? The job that I do now is I don't like to do. Yeah, I don't. There's things I need to get rid of. I need to hone in and focus more on the things that I absolutely love and I'm good at, as opposed to, you know, these other business level things that are just not adding value to my life.
Yeah.
But you got to get them done anyways. Anyways, that's me and where I think I'm going. Tommy, how about you?
So it's interesting you say all this. I've been in doing Power BI with an organization for 7 years, and in between that doing user groups and training sessions. And I've always loved that side of it. And then we've talked about FTE versus consulting. Interesting timing though, of this episode though, I am actually making the transition to be full-time consulting tomorrow. So interesting time. And we've had this conversation offline and online 100 times, but I think part of it too is I've always loved the teaching, and I would always go to a conference, someone would go, hey, do you mind helping us out? I'm like, no, I got other things to do. I got a job. And I conversations with my wife and conversations with myself, I'm like, why not? And to your point though, like, anyway, like you said, I've been in the in-house FTE world for so long, and honestly, it is kind of exciting now because I want to be able to teach more. I want to be able to do those things that I really do love, and then go into new situations. And like you said, I am very much like you, the problem solver. We've talked about this. When I am cooking in the kitchen, I will move the pots if I feel like we don't use this drawer enough, so we need to put all the stuff that are frequently used in here. I'm always thinking the same way. And yeah, that's not something you could turn off. So I will actually be heading out my FTE tomorrow, and then we'll be full-time consulting.
Congratulations.
On tomorrow. Thank you. So kind of exciting and kind of scary. So when you see me like eating like ramen noodles on podcast, you'll know why.
Exactly. Tommy comes in with like hair, you know, like Kramer hair, and kind of comes in as, you know, a little, you know, frazzled, you know, you'll know why.
Yeah. So, but honestly, like, you guys have been a big part of that in terms of, we've, like I said, talking offline and online, and to your point, yeah, a lot of people say they know Power BI, but we are very lucky to be in this industry and also very lucky to be have that right personality. We're like, I have to know everything. I have to know how it works. I have to figure it out. And then you realize you've been doing that for 7 years. You're like, I know Kung Fu, you know, basically.
It's kind of like a little bit like a muscle memory, right? It's a, if you do it enough and you learn enough things. I also get in the trap a lot of times. I think that everyone else knows what I know. I kind of assume to some degree, I assumed you already knew what calculated's doing. Oh, I assumed you know what filter context is. And I forget a lot of the times, like, oh, wait, okay, hold on. I got to kind of step back here for a second. So a lot of, you know, a lot of things that I'm in my mind, I have to like recenter myself a bit and be like, okay, let's take it back. Let's focus on what are we trying to accomplish here? Let's get some of the basics covered and helping you get knowledge up to a level where you can actually use Power BI effectively. Seth, how about you? What are things looking like for you?
I think it's kind of one of two paths, right? One is coming into the role that I've had now for the last 3 years, you know, as a director. I'm digging a lot of the leadership things that I've learned. I love building teams, looking forward to, you know, expanding on building a data culture within the organization, right? Like create the well-oiled machine of, you know, data and business intelligence. So there's a lot of appeal to that. At the same time, I have a certain level of autonomy, which I love, right? Like there's no heavy hand over the top. But the second part about like that, I love in kind of the role and pursuing higher levels of leadership is, it's kind of a microcosm of what I get in the community, right? There's a lot of ability to expand and create learning paths for people, career growth path, like extending a lot of my knowledge and giving that to other people towards a business objective. And that's the value I find behind it, right? It's a lot of fun to be in an environment where, there's that, you know, reciprocal appreciation and the ability to, you know, solve business problems in a bigger way. Mm-hmm. And you know, if that is not a path I want to pursue, like consulting is always something I enjoyed, right? I consulted for 5 years. I think I'm going to, you know, if I go back into it, I'll probably level up, right, into trying to solve bigger problems that an organization has as a, you know, and help them implement strategies and find the right teams to, you know, solve some of their problems.
Yeah.
A lot of experience in companies that are going from small to big, right? And there's a lot of thrash that happens when you're rapidly building. And I've built quite the skill set, I think, that relates to that because I've done it multiple times now. And it's not the greatest fun time, but I can tell you where to go. So probably one of those two, you know? And those are the reasons why.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, for people that are kind of newer in this space, I would also want to, you know, give some people, you know, you're not at a place where you're like, oh, I want to go out on my own and be a consultant, or, oh, I'm going to be a director tomorrow. Like there's a wide audience that we're listening to here. I'd like to talk about, like, you know, what would be some of those other roles? Like if you, you know, envision areas in your career, what would be some next steps career-wise for other people in working with Power BI?
A little newer.
Like thinking like, you know, I'm thinking like that 6 month to 1 year step. Yeah. You know, what would be, again, we can also kind of look back at this and say, okay, let's, you know, what do we recommend for people in that space of their life around they're just getting started and maybe you really love it. Maybe you think this, man, Power BI is so cool. What does this look like for me? Seth, do you have any thoughts around what would you recommend to your younger self in that space? Would you have done anything differently?
I don't think I would have done anything differently because I think the experiences that I had set me up to be the position that I am now.
Yeah.
Like what I do see, especially in my own team right now, that we're very front end Power BI tool specific people, right?
Yes.
Is to learn more of the back end data engineering tasks of like what does it take to build a pipeline that does these things in this order?
Yeah.
Do the transformations, the heavier SQL, you know, SQL is still the standard language across the board. I think Python's becoming more you know, adaptable as a, you know, a language, but the skill sets of the vast majority of people still land in SQL, and there's the variants, right? Spark SQL, all the other, you know, flavors, but it's still the same syntactical language with sugar on top, right?
Yeah.
The backend systems that it integrates with significantly different depending on what platform you're using. But I think there's a lot I've taken for granted, I think, in that expectation call out that you have, Mike. Like my experience, oh, you should just know this. And what I'm finding is there's a lot of nuance that is extremely valuable for folks to spend time in data to figure out where the data problems are, right? Like
yes.
I can walk into a table, I can write a couple queries, and I can tell you what the data problem is.
Yep.
That's a learned practice, right? Which I'm
totally learning.
So I would say the data engineering skills or the core sets of Power BI as a tool, right? DAX, tabular models, right? You don't have to use Power BI as a visualization tool, right? That that is a core thing that you can take with you and just kind of will help you level up, you know, if you're a doer, right? Mm-hmm. If you like engineering, if you like building things, building models, right? Like there are entire careers around just being a modeler, a warehouse person, right? So I think those transitory skills that by nature are part of the systems of Power BI are what you latch onto, because regardless of the front end interface, right, there are other systems that you can use independently of Power BI that are exactly the same systems.
Yeah.
I would
even say, like, even the way, you know, Microsoft is leveraging and investing in M, right? And Power Query, right? The more time you'd spend in learning those languages, becoming familiar with how to transform things, I think the opportunities are getting greater and greater on the enterprise side of things. And when you move from, like, you know, a business side role and then graduate into enterprise IT back end, like that's a huge skill and pay bump, right? From a career standpoint. So those are definitely areas I would start to leverage if you're interested.
And for me, okay.
I was gonna say, I really like that analogy there, Seth. I think in the business world, so I came from things from the business side of things. I knew I needed to get data into visuals. I could figure out all the insights. I could figure out the business insightful part of this information. But I think there's now becoming emerging, like the tooling is becoming so good that I can do more with the business tools that I'm given that are more focused on like real data engineering activities. And so I think I would echo with you, Seth, is if you're newer to Power BI, you're probably just thinking, oh, this is kind of cool. I can make some visuals. I can load in some data. I think it would be really worthwhile your time to spend some time focusing on what you like to do in that space. As Power BI becomes more sophisticated, as people try and throw more, like, as these data models increase in size, there's more challenges that come with that. Larger data means more problem solving, I think, to some degree. And so think about what you like to do. Do you love doing the front end modeling side of things? Or do you love doing the data engineering and the problem solving of those things? Because I think right now we're seeing, as this tool is becoming more mature, we're starting to see specific roles appearing with inside the Power BI ecosystem, right? I like to administer Power BI and figure out how to get people access to the tool and govern that piece. That may be something that is of interest to you. Or you may be like, oh man, I just like doing the data modeling. That's really good. And so, or you may, I just love building the reports. I'm really good at that part. And so kind of figuring out which of those three areas that you're good at and then focusing in on some of those areas and spending a little bit more time there. Because I think when you specialize in one of those areas, or there may be more coming out sooner, you can really add value to your career long term.
Well, I would actually make the argument, especially if you're starting out and you kind of love all aspects of it, you really want to apply this, is I would tell my younger self this too. I'm very lucky. The 7 years I had in house to doing the consulting, I think was perfect, but I wish I knew earlier. It's not about how well I'm using the tool. It's about how well I'm applying it. And so I can have all the technical skills in the world. And this was actually probably the biggest thing when I started using Power Apps and Power Automate and then really like rolling that out. And it's really translated incredibly well to the Power BI infrastructure, so to speak, and just rolling that out as well and developing reports in the life cycle, where you may be incredibly well at a certain language or being able to do the tool itself, but if it's not being applied or providing that value, understanding what the problem is that you're trying to solve when you're building it, have the skill and be a master at it, yes, but then understand it's basically like being a carpenter and knowing what tools to use at the right time. And so, and that is, to me, that's the key.
So this is resonating in the chat too, right? I agree. There is a huge distinction between the technical abilities and technical tools that we're using to create the value. The value is the insights, right? How fast you get there and how fast you get to solving those problems for the organization, which is where they see value in what you do, is where tech skills come in, right? If you can do that faster than anybody else, or you know, produce these insights, that means you're saving time for big decisions to be made. That's the value in what we do, right? The other point I want to make here, and Mike's addressing a little bit, is Newbie I asks, he's curious how, if we all started in IT, and what we did to make the jump.
Yeah.
I am a huge advocate of learning, the learning mentality of growing, because my background is exactly what happens when you do that. I went to school for art. Like, I was in fine dining as a bartender and got a job on the front end in the business. And I helped people, like helped them use an application. I got curious about the back end systems after a while and was given an opportunity to learn SQL, and I self-learned SQL. That's how I got into tech.
Yeah.
Right. So if you want an example of like what learning, doing continual growth looks like, it's my career, right? Like literally, like you would not, like if in college, I would never have said that I'd be on a podcast talking about a technical tool, like with computers, right? Like I'd be like, yeah, man, you want a pot? Like, choose which one you think I'm talking about, right? Like I could throw you one. And that's not to discount artists, because I love art and I love creating, you know, and doing that. I just haven't done it in a while because Power BI is also fun and interesting.
It's your new art. It's the new thing that you're working on.
But it, you know, I mean, never short sell yourself. If you're interested and you have a passion around it,
totally.
It's difficult. You know, it takes learning and growth. But like, you can do it.
I want to echo here a point that you said, Seth, that the thing is very important here, right? Regardless of whatever you're doing, it doesn't even have to be Power BI specific. Have a heart of being able to learn, right? Just come in with a humble attitude and say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to learn from other people. And I think, I mean, one of the things I really love about our community around Power BI, and this is something that maybe is a bit unique. I haven't seen it in other communities that I've been a part of, but like, there's a lot of people willing to help you out. You ask questions, people give you answers. Like people are like wanting to just, it's a friendly data culture. I really like how the community kind of has, you know, we're people, we like data, we're excited about it. And we can talk about these very technical pieces together and, you know, be curious, be hungry to learn, keep trying. And I'll make the analogy here, cause we're talking about arts and things, right? I'm a part-time drummer. You know, I do drumming, you know, I play with real musicians kind of thing. And, you know, as a drummer, you know, if I ever wanted to level up my skills, you're always looking to find band members that are playing at a higher level than you, because it pushes you to get to that next level. So, you know, as a musician, you're always kind of like, you know, figuring out what the audience is you're playing with, and then working with other people that are up, you know, upping your game to some degree. And I feel like it's the same thing again, that hunger to learn, that hunger to like keep being open to absorbing new information is super helpful in whatever your next career is. I mean, it may not even be data. Yeah. It may be something totally else in differently. Just be hungry to learn and find people that are doing what you want to be doing. Work with them. Try and find people that'll mentor you.
And I'm very similar to Seth, where if you were to say, I'm starting my own business in a technical tool when I graduated college, I wouldn't know what you're talking about, because I majored in sociology and I was also doing philosophy courses and psychology, because my interest was always in why are people doing what they're doing.
Yeah, Tommy, your psychology. Yes, exactly. I remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was always
why do people. We've got psychology major and we have an art major. Sociology, all doing RBI.
Don't forget sociology. But to me, like honestly, I think that was one of the best majors for what I'm doing now, because it, to me, it kind of does apply, but I would have never considered the idea of like, why do people behave in groups in certain ways and what affects that?
Yeah.
And, but just to get to this point, it was just always, I think you said the perfect word, curiosity. Mm-hmm. Is continuing to learn, and it is continuing, because that's why I think I'm in this for the long haul, because I've always loved numbers, from writing down baseball stats in the newspapers that came in fourth
that's
grade.
True,
and I
would Tommy, write them down.
You were, and I would keep a log of
you were a numbers guy.
So at I should have known that back then.
Yeah, true.
And I've always been interested in why people, like, what can affect behavior, and that is exactly what this industry is. So
I mean, this is something that I feel like is spinning out of something new. I mean, yes, there's probably always been data engineers, but when I was going through school, there was no like Power BI data engineering line of business. There wasn't a major around this specifically. So that's why I liked the numbers. I liked math, you know, technical things. I liked building stuff with my hands. I was very, you know, kind of crafty that way. Like, I thought mechanical engineering was like the way to go. And I did it for a number of years. It was cool. But what I really found made my heart sing was like, the data side of things, working with the data. And then when I started building custom ribbon macro bars for Excel, then I should have saw the writing on the wall much earlier, because I was like, programming, man, code, programming, computers. Yeah. I absolutely love it. It's the way my mind thinks. So I think this is a new era of space that, you know, I don't think was around when I was even looking for a career at this point. So, I mean, I would even say, be open to changing your career paths, right? I mean, it may be scary, but you might need to take a direction change at some point.
Yeah. I think to wrap up, like, why I do think Power BI is a fantastic choice in career or business intelligence in general, and Power BI has accelerated that, is the biggest challenges in orgs are, like, in my mind, are the gaps between teams and business units, right? And Power BI and BI in general allows us to use skills to work across those gaps with data and mashup, but also that communication. So we're uniquely positioned with really good tool sets to solve some of the biggest business challenges and problems, which is lack of visibility. People don't want to make a decision because they don't have the insights, right? So the ability for you to grow in many different ways, from a technical skill as well as soft skills. We talk about communication a lot. Like, the result of that are really big impacts to businesses. And like, that's where you want to be. Like, that makes you one of the most valuable people in the organization, because you're the insights driver, right? You're the guy that people can go to help pull together really needed information so that a business can make decisions that could impact the outcome of, you know, things significantly.
Mm-hmm.
What better place would you want to be?
Yeah. Right?
like you can
affect, like, we have that ability through changing processes, through this skill set that, you're right, people rely on that. Going back to my thesis for sociology, where we can tweak the variables, so to speak, that affect process and affect culture and affect change. So, I mean, we are getting more and more dependent on what we are building, and more like just part and intertwined with organizations, how data is moved and processed. So, love it.
Excellent. Well, with this one, I think we've probably burned through a really good wrap up here. I would say my final wrap up, I mean, you guys have made your final thoughts. My final thought would just be hungry to learn. Keep looking for opportunities, connect with people who are doing what you want to be doing, and just kind of have an open mind. Maybe your career will change a little bit, and that's okay, I think. So with that, you've burned through a perfectly good hour of a podcast today. So we thank you very much for taking the time to listen to us, and to the feedback in the chat. Oh my gosh, really, really good. A lot of people talking about things, super thrilled about what's going on there. So thank you very much for chat. Appreciate your comments and your notes here. Our only ask, if you like this podcast, you thought this was a good episode, you found a little bit of value out of it, maybe got a chuckle or two out of the conversation, we just appreciate you if you would share it. Share it with somebody else, either on social medias or talk to someone about it at work. That's the biggest thing we can get from you. We appreciate your listenership and viewership, I guess, for those who are actually watching. With that said, Tommy, where else could you find the podcast?
So if you're listening live right now, make sure to subscribe on Apple and Spotify. All our previous episodes are available. Now we're through 138 episodes, which is incredible. And if you're watching or if you're listening, make sure to watch online 7:30 in the morning live, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Again, biggest thing you can do to help us out that if you really enjoy the content, share the word, do a tweet or a LinkedIn post or however you send out your messages saying, hey, really unique way to talk about Power BI right here.
Awesome. Thank you all very much, and we'll see you next time.